Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, picking up where we were last time. Let's read verse 5 through 8, and then verse 25. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." And in verse 25, "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned unto Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." Heavenly Father, help us as we study the Word of God. Lord, we would see Jesus in the Scriptures. We would see Jesus Christ in the Bible as it's preached and taught, and just like we read. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm here as your evangelist, to say that Jesus Christ is the answer. We just read how that they went to Samaria, they preached the gospel, the people believed and surrendered their hearts to the Lord through the message. They believed, they heard, they saw the miracles, it says. And it says that unclean spirits or demon spirits, they were expelled, or however it was, from the people that were possessed. And you may say, well, I don't know about that, or I don't believe that, or whatever. But there are people in our city, the people under the bridges, for instance, that are affected. A lot of drugs, a lot of weird stuff. I don't know, but if they have demons or not, I don't know. But I know this. Regardless, Jesus can set them free. Here in Metairie, not a lot of crime here, I'm happy about that. But we got problems here too. And not just New Orleans, but all of the metro area. And I believe that people in Bay St. Louis can hear what I'm saying if they turn the dial. People down in Houma, people in LaPlace, what have you, and in Covington. Whoever's listening to me, if you've got problems, Jesus is the answer. Take your problems to the Lord and leave them there. Bring your problems, dump them off at God's feet and say, Lord, I know you can take care of this. Please help. Please help. And I'm here to tell you, there's no telling what or how God can do something. But if we'll trust in Him, maybe we won't see the great things that happen in Acts chapter 8. But I know that I was delivered when I surrendered to the Lord. I know that within 5 minutes of me surrendering my heart. I knew I was free of drugs. I knew I was free of the bars. I knew that I was free from chasing women. It's just not a thing you should do. And God delivered me from all that sin. He can do something for you. He can do something for you. Trust Him. And again, turn your problems over to Him and stand back and see what God can do in your life. But let's get back to my text. In Luke 11, it's talking about Jesus, and it says that when the people were gathered thick together, He began to say, "This is an evil generation." And there's backstory here, but He said that the people want a sign. They want a sign from heaven or a sign from God or a neon light or something that says, hey, what Jesus says is true. But He says that there won't be any sign given but the sign of Jonah the prophet. And by explanation, He says that Jonah, he was assigned to the Ninevites, the people of Nineveh. If you remember the story of Jonah, God said, go preach, and he said, no, I won't. And he went the other way, got swallowed by a whale or fish or whatever it was. And then when he was set free of that watery grave, he beat feet and went to Nineveh and said, hey, y'all better repent because judgment's coming. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. But the sign of Jonas is that Jesus Christ was in the ground for 3 days and rose from the dead. That's the only sign that Jesus was going to give the Pharisees that, hey, death, burial, and resurrection. And it says in verse 31 that the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation, and they'll condemn it. For back in the time of Jonah, the Ninevites repented at his preaching. Oh, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. All of the Old Testament prophesied of Christ, and now, and again, we're speaking in the Gospels, 2,000 years ago, now Jesus, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, is here. You say, why are you telling us all that, preacher? Because I'm trying to finish Acts chapter 8. The Queen of Sheba, in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1, she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and she came to prove him or test him with hard questions. Just like I said a bit ago, if you've got troubles, turn to God, no matter how hard your trouble is, no matter how big the questions are in your life, Jesus is the answer. And that's what the Queen of Sheba did. The man at that time was Solomon, and she came from Ethiopia and said, hey, Solomon, let's hear what you have to say. But both of these groups that Jesus talks about, the city of Nineveh and the Queen of Sheba, these were Gentiles or non-Jews that gladly heard the word of the Lord. But Jesus gives warnings of impending judgment. And today there's a warning of impending judgment. Jesus came the first time and upset the Jews' apple cart. But he's coming back very soon. When? I don't know. But he's coming back very soon. And he will judge the world. And those that have lived for themselves and done evil would have you, they won't go to heaven. But you can get your heart right today. You can gladly hear the word of the Lord, as we just read a bit ago. You can get your life right today. For today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. You don't know when you'll die. You don't know how you'll die. Or you don't know. This afternoon Jesus might come. You don't know. Get your life right today. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. It says that you'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with your whole heart. That's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. That's what we all need to do, is seek the Lord with our whole heart. Open the book. You don't have a Bible, the church down the street will give you one. But open it. You can start in Matthew, but open it and start to read. And there's no telling what God will do for you as you begin to put your trust in Him. But Acts chapter 8, which is what we're in, it continues the work that started on the day of Pentecost. The outpouring of the Spirit, all the people from the different countries that heard all the spectacle, I guess, they went home, whatever country they were from. They were all Jews, but they went back to wherever they lived, and thus the gospel was spread. And that's what they did in Acts chapter 2, and that's what we see here. The gospel continues to spread, and the focus here in this chapter is Samaria. Remember the Good Samaritan? That's where he was from, Samaria. But let's see if we can finish this chapter. And all of what I said is background. But Acts chapter 8, verse 26, starting there, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, Arise," or "Hey, get up, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert." Everybody knows somebody that was in one of the recent wars in the last couple of decades. They can tell you about the desert in the Middle East. And it mentions Gaza. Now the people in there today in Gaza, the terrorists or whatever, those are not the same people that were there in Bible times. But I want to make this statement. The Bible talks of Gaza, it talks of Damascus, it talks of Egypt and Syria and Lebanon. Those countries existed back then. They exist today. This was thousands of years ago that we can read in the Old Testament about these places. And there's been some people shift here and there. You know, they migrate or whatever. But the countries are still there. It's not called Iran in the Bible, but it's called Persia, which is the old name, but Iran is still there, just like it was in Bible times. And often, they still have the same names from thousands of years ago. But it says that Philip, after God said, "Hey, head south, bud," that he got up and went. Verse 27, and he came across a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now, there's a lot in this verse. The next verse would have you. There's a lot. He was a eunuch, and we don't do that today. But back then it had to do with, hey, I'm going to serve the king or the queen or whatever. I'm going to dedicate my life to this. And they do a little chop-chop here or whatever. And he became a eunuch. But he was given great authority. He was like, I guess we could say, maybe the Secretary of State or the Prime Minister or something for Candace, the Queen of Ethiopia. And he was in charge of all this stuff and whatever, and could represent her and whatever as an ambassador, whatever it was. But he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. Candace and the Ethiopians, they were Gentiles. But as it turns out, the Queen of Sheba, her country or kingdom or whatever, is in the exact same place, the area of Ethiopia. Now, it's interesting that 1,000 years earlier or whatever, the Queen of, not the Ethiopians, but the Queen of Sheba, she went to hear Solomon in Jerusalem. And in the time of Acts chapter 8, again, 1,000 years later, I guess, they still respected the wisdom of Solomon. They were Gentiles, but they, in their heart, they turned to God. And this was probably not a one-off. It was probably every year or whatever that the Ethiopians would send somebody to represent and to worship God. But God said, hey, Philip, that's the guy you're looking for. Go jump on his chariot. And as he got closer, he realized that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah the prophet. And in fact, it was Isaiah chapter 53, the great chapter that talks about the crucifixion of the Lord and prophesies of the things that would happen and did happen in the life of Jesus. And he says, hey, I really don't understand. Hey, Philip, come on up. Let's ride a while. And it says that Philip preached the gospel. He started right there in Isaiah 53 and said, hey, this is what it means. And Jesus fulfilled this and all of these things happened. And Philip believed. And in fact, Philip believed so much that he said, hey, you know what? I want to get baptized. Apparently, Philip had been in that chariot some time, an hour or so, and had a chance to tell, hey, this is the whole story. I mean, he fulfilled the Old Testament, whatever, and he died, and he rose from the grave, and he went back to heaven, and the Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost or whatever. And hey, you know, there was John the Baptist and he preached repentance and the whole story. He told the whole story. And at some point, they passed by a certain body of water, whichever one it was. And the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, hey man, I want to get baptized. I want to go on with God. I believe what you've said. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life, etc. I want to be a disciple. And hey, Philip, you said that the disciples get baptized. Well, I want to be a disciple. I want to get baptized. So they did that. They stopped. They went into the water. And Philip said, hey, that's fantastic. Let's go ahead and get you baptized. But it says that when they got back to the bank or whatever the case, the eunuch looked around and Philip, he was nowhere to be found. Huh. I don't know what happened to Philip, but I got to get back on this chariot and get back on my way. I'm a little late. You know, I got to get back to my journey. And just like we read about those guys at the beginning of the sermon, he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. I know when I gave my life to Jesus, I was so filled with joy and happiness and peace and contentment. Man, it's a wonderful thing when you give your life to the Lord. And that's what happened to him. He went on his way rejoicing. But it says in verse 40, I guess the last verse of the chapter, that Philip, he disappeared, but it says that he was found at Azotus, wherever that is. He went back on his way, I guess back to Caesarea. He preached in all those cities. He had a good time himself. And I'm not really sure what this means. It says that when they would come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more. I don't quite understand what that means. I mean, I don't think it's beam me up, Scotty. I don't think that. Perhaps some teach that miraculously God picked him up and put him somewhere else. But more likely, the interpretation of that is, hey, the evangelist's job is done. We went to the Bible, we preached Christ. You decided to get saved, want to be a disciple, you even got baptized. The evangelist's job is done. Now it's time for the believer to walk on with Jesus. It's good to become a Christian. It's good to be baptized. It's good maybe to join the church down the street or whatever. But the believer, the new convert, he has to start reading his Bible. He has to learn how to pray. Maybe he gets convicted and says, okay, Lord, I'll start dropping some money in the bucket or whatever. There's a progression that should happen in the life of a believer. He should become a disciple. He should learn more and more. He should surrender more and more of his life to the Lord. And he should begin to tell others what God did for him. Again, the evangelist's job is done. Now the new Christian needs to live his life rejoicing for the Lord.
Shed for me, and my sins they are white.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.